It's time to feel better with help from Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Allergies, nutrition, ultimate wellness, all discussed right here, right now. It's Wellness for Life Radio on Radio MD. Here's your host, Dr. Suzanne.
American employers lose more than $13 billion each year as a result of about 113 million lost workdays due to migraines. And today on Wellness for Life, we have neurologist Dr. Brian Loftus here to talk about headaches and migraines and the importance in keeping a headache journal. Welcome, Dr. Loftus. Thanks so much for being here. Now, what's the difference between a headache and a migraine?
So a headache is like saying an automobile, and a migraine is like saying a Chevy Chevette. So it's just a specific type of headache. And although tension headaches are the most common, the most disabling far and away are migraine headaches.
So then when you say that the migraine is just a different kind of a headache, tell us the actual symptomatology that delineates between a headache and a migraine. Because tension headache is like, oh, I've got, you know, the tight wrapped around band around my temples, my forehead. Sometimes it's considered a sinus headache as well, or tension from muscles being tight. What's a migraine headache?
Yeah, so the best way to look at what's a migraine is just to sort of ask yourself a very simple question. When you have a disabling headache, so it's moderate or worse, if you have any of the following five things, it's probably a migraine. So if it's typically one-sided, worse with movement, throbbing or pulsating sensation, if you have nausea, if you have sensitivity to light and sound, if you have any of those things and your headaches are moderate or worse, they're probably migraines.
I got it. You know, about 14 million people suffer from chronic daily headaches. I mean, that's a lot of people, which means a lot of disability. You deal with that quite a bit in the people that you work with?
Absolutely. So that's basically my office day, is seeing somebody with that disease. That's 80% of my migraine patients have chronic daily headache when they show up, which means they have a headache on at least half of the days.
Wow. Half the days. How can people, you know, I've been very fortunate not to experience headaches. I mean, once in a while, maybe if I'm literally hypoglycemic and I haven't eaten, you know, and I skipped a meal, I might get a headache, but I rarely, and I mean, like maybe I could say five times in my whole life, and I'm in my 50s. But what you're telling me is that there's so many millions of people suffering every single day. What are the causes? What's going on here?
So migraine is mostly a genetic disease, and then there are lifestyle factors that make them more frequent. So skip meals, menstrual cycles, weather can all kind of trigger you to have a migraine. And some people have sort of a more burdensome disease. You can kind of think about asthma. You can have mild asthma that just needs an inhaler from time to time, and then other folks need to take meds every day to kind of prevent the attacks in the first place. And that's kind of how we approach migraines. So if your headaches are infrequent, then you just take pills when you have them. But if your headaches are more often than once a week, or even if they're only really bad a couple times a month, then you typically take medications in order to prevent them in the first place.
You know, a lot of people come to see me for headaches when they are actually allergic to these medications. You know, the doctors are all doing their best to give the right type of therapy, but they're not able to use it because they get allergic reactions and whatnot. And so with those individuals, what do you do?
So we do have seven, what I would consider all first-line drugs for prevention that are oral. And then we also have six potential preventative treatments that we can do also that are very effective. So usually between the seven oral meds, we can usually find one or two that work well that we can work with. And then if you are trying to get pregnant and don't want to take medication or none of those things work, or sometimes you just need to get better faster, we do have a number of procedures that make folks better.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, with my patients, when they come in, my practice, I'm all natural. I don't deal with drugs. Although some of the patients come in with their prescriptions. You know, I always look at their lifestyle and I ask them to go through their dietary journal, and even what things that they're exposed to day to day at their work or their home. And I want to know, do you do that as well? Do you recommend a headache diary?
Yes, I think headache diaries are critically important. I mean, I can't imagine that you would take care of someone's blood pressure in your office without having them track that at home from time to time, or diabetes and not knowing their sugars. So headaches are just as important. In fact, I helped to develop both an online system called iHeadache Online that you can find at iHeadache, and your doctor can sign up at iHeadache MD, and it's free, and the patient can designate their doctor, and they can look at your journal, or if you carry around an iPhone device, you can sign up and download the app called iHeadache, and it has ways to track triggers. The online system is more sophisticated because you can track a trigger whether you have one or not, and it'll give you kind of numbers to help you decide, is this a coincidence or a true trigger or not? And you can track your preventatives, and so you can quickly see and get reports to tell, when I make this medication change, do my headaches get less frequent? Are they less disabling? Because disability is a big part of the tracking that the app and the online system do.
I see. So what you're saying is that you actually put, I mean, these people can actually, by using your app, where you can get it at iHeadache.com, they can use that so that you can help, or doctors can help figure out their actual disability. They may have to stay home. That's what you're saying, from work.
Correct. Or they may go to work and be partially disabled, and they can track that amount of time also. And so the key to the app and the online system is a few things. First thing, half of people with migraines don't know it. So they've been diagnosed as tension or sinus, and this system actually asks them their symptoms. So early on, if you're using it, it can actually help to guide you and your doctor to what the patient actually has. And obviously, if the diagnosis is not right, we can never help folks. And then it then will keep track of their disability over time and make reports by time, so that as you try different things, whether they be lifestyle changes, whether you want to try some of the natural supplements that can be good for migraine prevention also, you can keep track if it works or not. So I'm not against natural things, as long as people are figuring out if they work or not.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes it doesn't, honestly. And I mean, I help a lot of people with pain syndromes, and migraine and headaches is one of them. And as a natural practitioner, there's a lot of different solutions, but sometimes it won't, and they just have to revert to pain and medication. I do also see a great deal of pediatric patients. Do you see pediatric migraine sufferers?
In general, I go down to 13, so I don't see the little kids, okay, but I see the kind of the older kids. But sometimes I'll see adults who can trace back that their migraine started when they were 4, and they can remember their head feeling like it was as big as a pumpkin and someone was scooping something out on the inside. I mean, the imagery that kids can have is just great.
Wow.
But fortunately, they're much less common in kids, so just a couple percent of kids get them before puberty age. Then they start to increase, and they actually get the most frequent around age 40.
Age 40. You know, so can you describe some of, you know, the case studies that you've had where there's a very typical connection between migraines and maybe some organ disorders like liver disease? Do you find that? Because I see that in my practice. I know we only have like 40 seconds left.
Okay, so if your headache is new and severe and you've never had it before, those are much more likely to be secondary things that need to be checked out rapidly. In general, the metabolic diseases don't affect migraines that much, other than thyroid's a big factor. Your hormones are also a very large factor for migraines.
Right. Hormones, I see that quite often. People who are, just starting their periods, so cycling at 13 and all, and even menopausal. Well, Dr. Loftus, thanks so much. It was great having you on our show. Really excited to be able to learn more about migraines and head pain. You can visit Dr. Loftus' website, belairneurology.com. And this is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD.